One, two, three, four.
Go well, Isaac. Go well. And now we've come to my favorite part of the evening. An epic love story. Are you ready for a love tale tonight? Excellent. You see, Ebenezer Bishop grew up on a homestead in Greenwich in 1784 to a father named Timothy who had married once before. Now, resulting from these two marriages were 15 children, and Fred Ebenezer's 13 older siblings he grew to manhood, absorbing and learning everything he possibly could to help him become the colorful and charismatic character he was claimed to have been. Yet despite his amazing reputation in the community, being an excellent marksman in the militia, and a very intelligent farmer, only one photograph of him was ever known to have existed, that of a daguerreotype. Look it up on Wiki. However, it belonged to an old spinster who, thinking that there's a fleck of dust on his nose, proceeded to clean the image. She cleaned it so much so that she removed it completely from the tin background. However, sometimes photographs can be replaced with words, for this man did something so remarkable, something so outstanding, that is worthy of remembrance prose. 4 miles across from shore to shore, the Minas Channel malls, the Fundy tides and narrow space between the rocky walls. 12 miles an hour, the Fundy flood surges on and on between the majestic palisades of Split and Blomidon. 12 miles south on a homestead and very much alive, Ebenezer Bishop dwelt a man of 25. On the other shore, in Parsborough, with raging tides between, Anne Lewis lived, a dainty maid, whose years were yet 18. She ruled in Ebenezer's heart, but oft his courage failed. A Parsborough man might win this girl while the winter's months prevailed. When the tide was full, the basin froze 3 feet in depth or more. The ice sheet over the inbound sound stretched from shore to shore. But with each ebb, the floes broke up to ice cakes floating free. And with the Minas Channel's rip, rushed them off to sea. 300 miles, a churl wrote, pass in dangerous ways. A walk like that through snow like that might cost this man some days. Each tedious... Wow.
Cost this man some days.
Yeah, and get off that squeaky chair. Some days. 300 miles of turtle rope pass in days. A walk like that through snow like that might cost this man some days. To rack this hapless man until... Oh, Andy, I'm sorry. I was doing so well. To rack this hapless man. No, 300 miles, a churro, pass in dangerous ways. A walk like that through snow like that might cost this man some days. Each tedious week brought sharper pangs to rack this hapless man, until at last his frantic heart it devised a frantic plan. It was January of 1809 when Ebenezer asked his father for a few days off his normal farm duties to go visit his friend Nathaniel in Scott's Bay. Upon his arrival, he told his friend his love-struck plan to cross the 4 mile ice-covered waters. Unable to talk Ebenezer out of this, Nathaniel helped him down to the water's edge the next morning during slack tide, when, for a brief amount of time, the tide is relatively motionless. Danger lurked behind every step. Ice cakes were pancaked precariously on top of each other. Dirty red seawater was seeping up between some of the thin ice, and a light dusting of snow had covered all of the ice joinings. At one point, Ebenezer felt the ice give way beneath him, so he flung himself face down to distribute his weight. But with a notched board he was carrying for protection, flung it into some strong ice, was able to pull himself to safety. It was late in the afternoon by the time Ebenezer made it to the Parsborough shore, then walked the remaining miles to Anne Lewis's house where she was cooking that night's supper. Oblivious to his own appearance or the many family members in the kitchen with her, Ebenezer walked in, took a knee, held out his hand, and he asked her to marry. Now the brave deserved and won the fair, so worthy he was found, that her parents lent the lad a horse to take him back the long way round. A lover so impetuous was far too good to chance a second time upon the ice across the tide's expanse. 8 months later he returned by boat to reclaim his worthy bride. Nigh 40 years she lived with him in Greenwich by his side. Now together they raised quite the family. They had many children, but one of the most remembered of all of these children was called Leander Bishop. For this lad grew mighty in the years. At last he came to be Acadia's first graduate in 1843. A surgeon he became in time and served with hand and brain in the bloody Civil War and all its wild campaign. When questioned how he kept so cool, one answer would suffice. He said he got it from his dad, who braved that minus ice. Dr. Watson Kirkconnell. Okay, that's one take.
Two.
Go well, Isaac. Go well. And now we've come to my favorite part of the evening. An epic love tale. Are you ready for a love story? Excellent. You see, Ebenezer Bishop grew up on a homestead in Greenwich in 1784 to a father named Timothy who had married once before. Now, resulting from these two marriages were 15 children, and Fred Ebenezer's 13 older siblings he grew to manhood, absorbing and learning everything he possibly could to help him become the colorful and charismatic character he was claimed to have been. Yet despite his amazing reputation in the community, being an excellent marksman in the militia, and a very intelligent farmer, only one photograph of him was ever known to have existed, that of a daguerreotype. Look it up on Wiki. However, it belonged to an old spinster who, thinking that there's a fleck of dust on his nose, proceeded to clean the image. She cleaned it so much so that she removed it completely from the tin background. However, sometimes photographs can be replaced with words, for this man did something so remarkable, something so outstanding, that is worthy of remembrance prose. 8 miles across from shore to shore. 4 miles across from shore to shore, the Minas Channel malls, the Fundy tides and narrow space between the rocky walls. 12 miles an hour, the Fundy flood surges on and on between the majestic palisades of Split and Blomidon. 12 miles south on a homestead and very much alive, Ebenezer Bishop dwelt, a man of 25. On the other shore, in Parsborough, with raging tides between, Anne Lewis lived, a dainty maid, whose years were yet 18. She ruled in Ebenezer's heart, but oft his courage failed. A Parsborough man might win this girl while the winter's months prevailed. When the tide was full, the basin froze 3 feet in depth or more. The ice sheet over the inbound sound stretched from shore to shore. But with each ebb, the flows broke up to ice cakes floating free, and with the Minas Channel's rip, rushed them off to sea. 300 miles, a churl wrote, pass in dangerous ways. A walk like that through snow like that might cost this man some days. Each tedious week that passed brought sharper pangs to rack this hapless man, until at last his frantic heart, well, it devised a frantic plan. It was January of 1809 when Ebenezer asked his father for a few days off his normal farm duties to go visit his friend Nathaniel in Scott's Bay. Upon his arrival, he told his friend his love-struck plan to cross the 4 mile ice-covered waters. Unable to talk Ebenezer out of this, Nathaniel helped him down to the water's edge at Amethyst Cove during slack tide that next morning when, for a brief amount of time, the tide is relatively motionless. Well, danger lurked behind every step. Ice cakes were pancaked precariously on top of each other. Dirty red seawater was seeping up between some of the thin ice, and a light dusting of snow had covered all of the ice joinings. At one point, Ebenezer felt the ice give way beneath him, so he flung himself face down to distribute his weight, and with a notched board he was carrying for protection, flung it into some strong ice and was able to pull himself to safety. It was late in the afternoon by the time Ebenezer made it to the Parsborough shore and then walked the remaining miles to Anne Lewis's house where she was cooking that night's supper. Oblivious to his own appearance or the many family members she had in the kitchen with her, Ebenezer walked right in. He took a knee, held it out of his hand, and he asked her to marry. Now the brave deserved and won the fair, so worthy he was found, that her parents lent the lad a horse to take him back the long way round. A lover so impetuous was far too good to chance a second time upon the ice across a tide's expanse. 8 months later he returned by boat to reclaim his worthy bride. Nigh 40 years she lived with him in Greenwich by his side. Now together they raised quite the family. They raised many children, but one of the most remembered of all of these children was that of the name Leander Bishop. For this lad grew mighty in the years. At last he came to be Acadia's first graduate in 1843. A surgeon he became in time and served with hand and brain in the bloody Civil War and all its wild campaign. When questioned how he kept so cool, one answer would suffice. He said he got it from his dad, who braved that Minas ice. Dr. Watson Kirkconnell.
3.
And now we come to a lovely love story, that of Ebenezer Bishop. He was born down the road in Greenwich in 1784 to his father named Timothy, who had married once before, And now we come to a lovely love story, that of Ebenezer Bishop. He was born down the road in Greenwich in 1784 to a father named Timothy, who had married once before.
Resulting from these two marriages were 15 children, and from Ebenezer's 13 older siblings, he grew to manhood, absorbing and learning everything he possibly could to help him become the colorful and charismatic character he was claimed to have been. Yet despite his amazing reputation in the community, being an excellent marksman in the militia, yet despite his amazing reputation in the community, being an excellent marksman in the militia, and a very intelligent farmer, only one photograph of him was ever known to have existed, that of a daguerreotype. Look it up on Wiki. However, it belonged to a meticulous spinster who, thinking that there's a fleck of dust on his nose, proceeded to clean the image. She cleaned it so much that she wiped his entire face from the tin background. However, sometimes photographs can be replaced with words, for this man did something so remarkable, something so outstanding, that it's worthy of remembrance prose. You see, 4 miles across from shore to shore, the Minas Channel mauls, the Fundy tides and narrow space between the rocky walls. 12 miles an hour, the Fundy flood surges on and on between the majestic palisades of Split and Blomidon. 12 miles south in a homestead and very much alive, Ebenezer Bishop dwelt a man of 25. On the other shore, in Parsborough, with raging tides between, Anne Lewis lived, a dainty maid whose years were yet 18. She ruled in Ebenezer's heart, but oft his courage failed. A Parsborough man might win this girl while the winter's months prevailed. When the tide was full, the basin froze 3 feet in depth or more. The ice sheet over the inbound sound stretched from shore to shore. But with each ebb, the flows broke up to ice cakes floating free, and with the Minas Channel's rip, rushed them off to sea. 300 miles, a Truro wrote, pass in dangerous ways. A walk like that through snow like that might cost this man some days. Each tedious week that passed brought sharper pangs to rack this hapless man, until at last his frantic heart, well, it devised a frantic plan. It was January of 1809 when Ebenezer asked his father for a few days off from his normal farm duties to go visit his friend Nathaniel in Scott's Bay. Upon his arrival, he informed his friend his love-struck plan to cross the 4 mile ice-covered waters. Unable to stop him, Nathaniel helped him down to the water's edge at Amethyst Cove the next morning during slack tide, when, for a brief amount of time, the tide is relatively motionless. Well, danger lurked behind every step. Ice cakes were pancaked precariously on top of each other. Dirty red seawater was seeping up between some of the thin ice, and a light dusting of snow had covered all of the ice joinings. At one point, Ebenezer felt the ice give way beneath him, so he flung himself face down to distribute his weight, and with a notched board he was carrying for protection, flung it into some strong ice, was able to pull himself to safety. It was late in the afternoon by the time Ebenezer made it to the Parsborough shore, then walked the remaining miles to Anne Lewis's house where she was cooking that night's supper, oblivious to his own appearance or the many family members she had in the kitchen with her. He walked right in, took a knee, held out his hand, and he asked her to marry. Now the brave deserved and won the fair, so worthy he was found, that her parents lent the lad a horse to take him back the long way round. A lover so impetuous was far too good to chance a second time upon the ice across the tide's expanse. 8 months later he returned by boat to reclaim his worthy bride. Nigh 40 years she lived with him in Greenwich by his side. Now together they raised quite the family, but one of the most remembered of all of their children was called Leander Bishop. For this lad grew mighty in all the years. At last he came to be Acadia's first graduate in 1843. A surgeon he became in time and served with hand and brain in the bloody Civil War and all its wild campaign. When questioned how he kept so cool, one answer would suffice. He said he got it from his dad, who braved that Minas ice. Thank you. That's also Dr. Watson Kirkconnell. If you have a minute, go to the basement of Acadia's library. There you will find the Kirkconnell room within the Esther Clark Wright archives. On the walls, you will see over 20 degrees, both earned and honorary, of this 9th president of Acadia University. He was twice shortlisted for the Nobel Prize for his literary writings. And cut.